Yeah. So what's been happening in the land of flow, BMK?
Land of flow, what, everything is flowing. That's no doubt. But the flow is really slow though.
I had a session with Kevin Baer last week and with one of our clients also in the banking sector. And he said that the misconception is to look at resource utilization instead of like throughput and flow. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you about today.
That's 100% right, actually, you know, because the one common misconception is that if you have more people, you can do more. But I mean, that might be right in some areas, but that might not be the case in typical knowledge work area, like, you know, where the software development, design development, you know, because the people like knowledge workers, we do different activities and you need different skills, different capabilities, different tool sets, different process to follow, right? Et cetera, et cetera. So it is not like, you know, you need 100 people to move the furniture from or a warehouse, you know, stocks from one unit to another unit. It's not like, you know, you need a massive manpower so they can shift everything in a thing. See, in one way, more people is context is right. But in another way, for an enterprise organization, with especially with the flow and other things, that's not the case. Because most of the time, the organization, they suffer because of the existing processes, which nobody has challenged. Nobody has challenged, and nobody has nobody has challenged the status quo, or nobody is asking that hard question. Because, you know, I'll tell you a story. Recently, my wife shared me this, but I know the story, you know, so many years before, but I never thought from that way. And there were half a dozen monkeys in one of the playground. Okay, it's just like a big pond, something like that. And these monkeys can climb up and come. And there was a tree with an artificial plastic fruits. The fruits made up of plastics and artificial things. So it's not real fruit. So these monkeys, they start seeing those fruits. They started coming up every time. And what happened was actually a group of people, like the people who were studying the behavior of the monkey, whenever the monkeys, they climb up, they put cold water on them. So whenever they get a cold water and the ice and cold water, they come down immediately thinking, ooh, those. And what happened was actually, and eventually these monkeys, they become that. Okay, it means whenever I'm going up, I get this treatment. And they stopped doing that. And they removed one monkey out of that group and they put a new monkey in that group. And this new monkey, as soon as saw the plastic fruits, and they said, ah, I'm going to go up. But what happened this time, inch of the cold water from the people who are studying, the other monkey started pulling that existing, the new monkey, you know. Then what happened was actually, this monkey did not have a clue why the hell these monkeys are not going up and eating the fruit and why they keep pulling my leg. And this monkey was beaten up like anything. And slowly what happened, at certain point of time, the other five monkeys, they understood this monkey is new, so he didn't have any clue. And slowly they removed all the old monkeys and they brought the new monkeys to the forum. And what happened was this behavior continued. And all the six monkeys or the five monkeys were beating up the other monkey whenever it's trying to climb up. And none of them had a clue. Why we are doing. So in an enterprise organization, some of the processes.
I love that story. I love that story.
Oh, my goodness. And when I heard that and when my wife said that, oh my goodness, this is classic, you know. I think, and that is true. And the thing is that, like, for example, like people like you or me, you know, when we deal with our customers or, I mean, working in the bank or working with somebody, when you go through some process, you need to fill this 100 pages document, you need to wait for the business case approval, you need to wait for somebody's review, etc. You keep doing it. And in a DevOps term, like, you know, what the other people, they keep saying, like, you know, this is how we have done it. Okay. And nobody has ever asked actually a question, why did we do that? And why we are not changing it? Because the flow, as you know, the smart folks, like definitely Andrew and, you know, Kevin and Jabe and John, they deal with a number of customers. So I think the one of the observations is that they are, you know, suffering from this kind of a disease. And I want to also mix another conversation to this, because they are suffering from the disease of what they wanted to improve the flow, but the rest of the organization remains same in their area. Because there is an expectation to go delivery teams to deliver faster, but funding is not changing, architecture design not changing, infrastructure planning is not changing, your review and risk and audit and compliance and governance is not changing. And your project office is not changing, but you're only expecting the delivery teams to go faster. that's not going to help you.
That's right. And that's what I posted on LinkedIn today, right? What do you want? Innovation. When do you want it?
Did you see my comment?
Yeah, I did see your comment. When do you want it? Oh, once the business case has been approved. It's hard though, right? It's hard. It's exactly like I love the monkey story because it's so true, right? And I really admire people that live in an organization and they're banging their head against the wall for years and they do not give up, right? And it's great then. So Guillaume basically just got promoted now to director of product engineering, I think. And amazing that gentleman's patience and commitment to the organization is just outstanding. And I admire those people. They believe in a mission and they don't give up, right?
But I'll tell you, Andreas, that's actually a good point that you made. Do you know why those people, their perseverance and their determination, they stayed on course and they never gave up? Because those are the individuals and the chain champions who really understood the purpose of the organization. Because it's easy to give up. You know, if say for example, this kind of transformation, if it is just about me and my position, and whenever my ideas are not get welcomed or whenever my idea is not getting appreciated, probably the people keep moving. You know, nobody likes me here and people not think I'm wasting my time. I'll go somewhere else and sell my skills and make money and then move on to something. But the people who like, you know, then 20 years or 15 years or 10 years or 5 years, you know, working on this constantly, though, because I think the challenge motivates them. And the belief is that, you know, what happened if that one monkey in the group of half a dozen monkeys took actually a step back and started thinking, okay, why is that happening? What is that we are missing here? How come we first came to know about this? Like, you know, what is the problem that we inherited? And when they're asking and educating people about it, I think that's how the, you know, it's important the change agents in the organizations. Like, you know, it's very critical. It's not actually, in my humble view, it is not actually your CX people. It is not actually the grassroots level people. It's actually the people who are trying to change the organization, the way how it's functioning. You know, trying to align everybody in the organization, trying to align all the tools that we are, and trying to think. So you call whatever the name that you want, actually. And actually, these are the people. They might be managers. They might be individual contributors. They might be having some title. They might not have some title, but it doesn't matter. But these people are trying to do the right thing for their organization. I think this is important that, you know, big enterprises, they recognize that. And then, you know, as you said, one of the example, like, you know, how they got promoted to the director of engineering, right? So I think that eventually that you get that kind of an outcome and that kind of recognition.
What organizations need to be aware of that the risk reward ratio is not very good for those people, because those monkeys, they're pulling those, you know, lead monkeys and the change agent monkeys back. And even if he does it and he gets cold water, they're still going to laugh at him and tell him, we told you so. We told you so. You didn't listen, right? So the risk is actually quite high to go up there and try nevertheless, even though everyone else tells you. And maybe that's also something we can take on for parenting our children, right? Because we also, you know, grow up with our, you know, Maya, they call it spiritually, or our preconceived world maps, right? That might or might not be true anymore. So that's an interesting story. But, you know, now you've been in the flow position or the flow lead at BNZ now for what, a year or so? What has changed in the last 12 months?
I think my focus pretty much at the moment is actually, first of all, educating the people about the flow and importance. And one of the things that I see that is in a transformation journey, it depends on, like, for example, if you're optimizing for speed, your speed will go up. If you're optimizing for flow, your flow will improve. If you're optimizing for cost, your cost will go up. Right, it's not that you're going to save money, right? So your cost will go up. So that the people that they have to understand, okay, you know, this morning I presented in one of the virtual conference and I asked three questions. Number one, what is the purpose of the organization that you're working on? Number two, what is the purpose of the role that you are in? Number three, how important is that what you do for your organization? If someone has the picture of all these three and they know this is how it's I'm contributing to my organization, I think the flow will eventually, will start flowing. There is no problem in that, right? But what people they miss is actually sometimes, like the example of this the story that I told you, sometimes of the existing processes, some of the existing documentations, some of the committee meetings and the business case studies like that. And those are all what actually we think is the right way to do a right way to function, you know, our organization. But that's not true, because the amount of the change that's happening in this space as of today, the speed is, you know, beating the slow. That is something that we need to understand that. And those like 20 years before or 30 years before, or now, for example, like speed thrills and speed kills kind of things is applicable for traffic, you know, things which is I truly, you know, understand and appreciate it. But when it comes to innovation, you don't want to wait for 6 months to get an approval for your idea to take off. By the time that you go to market, and like you, there are hundreds of people. No, so I think it's education at the moment. That's my primary focus, and teaching people about it, and start looking at the data and learn to see the type of work that you're doing, how much you're doing, what you're doing, what type of your work you're doing. Like, you know, understanding those things are very important, you know, from an adoption transformation perspective.
Yeah. So why are you saying when you're trying to optimize cost, the cost will go up instead of down? Why are you saying that?
No, in the sense, like, you know, what happens is that when you focus on reducing cost for certain things. So now one example you take it, like, you know, let's say you're running on an infrastructure in a container platform, and then let's say you're paying a good amount of bill for it. No, because it's a container platform, you're paying for it, or maybe public cloud or something like that. But if you start putting a cost perspective on that, saying, hey, I'm spending too much money here, I want to reduce the money, but you're missing a point. What is actually the value that you're delivering to your customer? How quickly you're delivering to your customer? What is making your customer happy or your engineers happy? You take that and you put something, oh, I'm going to replace my container platform with a virtual machine because I can save some money, and maybe this licensing model, et cetera, et cetera. What happens is that you might see initially you're saving cost here, but you're missing that somewhere down the line, it's having an impact, great impact. Either you're slow to market, your engineers are not happy, or, you know, people, they don't like to work on those, you know, those infrastructures anymore. They want to work on public cloud. They want to work on container platforms and a more modernized to them, the whole system. So the people, when they look at the narrow, that silo, they think they saved money. But if you look at the holistic view of an organization, they saved money in one area, but they are spending too much in the other side of the pipe, or they're losing the business opportunity, which is also actually a money, right?
That's interesting. That's actually also what Kevin Baer said when they get management consultancies in. They're cutting a big chunk out from one area of the business, and they're saving a lot of cost because those people get removed. But what that then means that it creates additional work in other areas of the business, and they need to then basically rehire people to, or often like hire other people, right? Because they're not that likely to come back and basically compensate for that. And that's a vicious circle of locally optimized cost saving.
That's what you mentioned, like Maya, right? The Maya is the illusion, thinking that I'm saving money, but the fact is that your overall result is not that, right? For example, I was talking to one of the person, and I know, she works as actually a payroll person, senior person in an organization. And she was saying, okay, had a conversation with her manager and said that, like, you know, she's looking for a change, she will leave. And the manager said that, oh yeah, probably I'm going to hire some juniors and make them work, and, which is a good thing. I'm not saying no, but the way that the statement came through is that with the money of what they pay for the senior payroll, they can hire two junior consultants. So they got two people. But what they missed that point is the efficiency and effectiveness and correctness of a senior person who does the role, you know, a junior learning and doing it, you have a difference that, you know, it is time, it is to do with the timing, right? It is the same applies to hiring a talent or retaining a talent. Retaining talent is actually, to be honest, cheaper. But hiring a talent is expensive. So you need to mean, how do I encourage my own people and retain the talent? Because what Australia at the moment is going, like similar to the rest of the world, the great resignation, like two out of the five candidates are resigning the job, you know, because pandemic has opened up a different world with all these people. The people are exploring remote working opportunities, no longer need to be in the big cities paying too much of money. They can work from anywhere within Australia or within New Zealand or within, you know, anywhere from the world. Some companies are encouraging that. So people now shifting towards having that kind of thing. So I think what happens, the people who, as you said, what Kevin said as well, you know, people who drive certain initiatives like optimize the cost, cut the cost cutting. See, actually, this is another important point that I want to talk as well, Andreas. I think in my personal study, some people, some organizations, they think that we do only one type of work, or we are doing only one kind of transformation, or we are doing only one thing. I don't think so. Every organization is divided into four quarters. Okay, this is where I really like zone management approach here. You have a productivity zone, which are actually core to your systems, example, like your core banking or your core retail systems, it's like that. And you have a performance zone, which is actually generating the revenue for you as of today. For example, like it could be mobile or your internet or maybe digital channels that you're fetching more customers, onboarding, making money. And you have actually a transformation zone where actually you are trying to catch up with the next wave, and you have a different set of metrics there. And you have an incubation zone where some of the crazy ideas are coming up, right? See, what happens now is each of this quarter have a different metrics, different culture. But what people, they miss to see is, oh, my entire organization is only a productivity zone. So that is the reason why sometimes when you talk to CX people, if you have seen anybody telling you this, I would like to really, want you to share with me, do they say, is their company only cutting cost, or are their company innovating? Because two things cannot be the same. It can be same, but it cannot be the same unit.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. So, right. And you know, to the earlier points that you made on terms of metrics, right? So when we do our DevOps or DevSecOps assessment, we always try to establish metrics that are actually counterbalancing them, right? So there's the throughput metric, and then there is the stability metric. Because if you don't do that, you can A, rig the system. Because guess what? If someone gets paid on speed, they will optimize for speed. As you say, if someone gets paid on cost, they will optimize on cost. But you don't see the residual effects it has on the because it's system thinking at the end of the day, right? You don't examine the effects. And so that's why our DevSecOps assessment always has a rolled up score in stability and throughput. And in terms of skills retainment, this is where our residency program is really gold. But I'm not sure whether everybody or every leader in organizations actually gets it, because what we're doing to do transformation or to bring new skills in, we're bringing the technology experts into a delivery program. So it's not theoretical. You're not just clicking boxes and answering multiple choice questions. You're actually delivering a vital outcome. Like for ANZ Bank in New Zealand, for example, when we did the DNS and network update with Ansible. So we have our Ansible experts in there. We have our Agile experts in there, and they delivering together as a team. And the ANZ Bank team then picks up Agile, they pick up Ansible, and they're co-delivering something in 6 weeks. And the beauty is then that the individuals have been trained, but also when the Red Hat team exits, the knowledge and the how-to exactly is in the organization. You can build from that. And that's so vital. And you know what, in terms of hiring, sometimes I just shake my head, to be honest, right? You should hire nowadays for propensity to learn. And when you look at job ads, right, they're still asking you for 15 years experience with technology X or technology Y, which you go like, that's not the point, right? The point is now, show me how quickly you have learned something new, picked it up, and actually converted it into value for your organization.
Yeah. So I say, like, you know, hire for the attitude. No, hire for their skills. You know, not an attitude for learning, attitude towards work, attitude towards the people, the empathy for their customers. Now, those things are important rather than whether do I know C sharp, do I know Golang, do I know work? Because the tools and technology, they keep coming and going. It's actually, that's another point as well. What most of the transformations in big enterprises, it's really become tool focused or process focused. What they forget about it is about the people, right? The transformation is about the people. The people that change, the organization changes. You know, it is not that because I got a great tool, a DevOps automation tool in my bank or in my enterprise or in a government agency, I become a DevOps. No, it's not that. And I signed up with one of the public cloud provider, I become a cloud native architecture design company. No, it's not. It's actually your people who are doing the transformation for you. It is actually transformation of your people, because when the people transform, the organization transforms. And when the people thinking changes, your organization way, how you operate, the new way of working, is about that new way of working, because you're trying to teach the people about, okay, no longer the old habits that we had is helping us. We need to change our perspective. We need to change things. You know, this is the paradigm shift that we need to have. So it's about educating and taking the people with you in the journey. And this transformation is purely, any transformation for that matter, whether it's Agile or DevOps or Lean or anything, it's all about people and the people who effectively and efficiently can do the job, because that's what is determining all the success of this transformation. It's not actually the tool that you buy or the, you know, the license, how much you pay, and which brand you work with.
Absolutely. Well, and with that, thanks a lot for coming on the show, BMK, and we'll be in touch, yeah?
Thanks very much, Andreas. And it's always fun to talk to you in this space. And I think it'll be really useful even for us to listen after a month or two about actually some of this conversation that we had. And then what did we learn from this conversation? Actually, you know, is it helping others? And who knows, actually, this conversation might be helping and inspiring others who are listening to this as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I often do that. I actually re-listen to podcast episodes, for example, with Paul and yourself, right? It's always good to get reminded because, as I said, right, we get bombarded with a lot of information. Sometimes it's good to go back to basic principles, right?
Yeah. Say hi to Kevin and Jabe and Andrew and John.
Will do.
Thanks very much.
Sounds good. Thank you, mate.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe and submit feedback and suggestions on podcast.andreasspanner.com.